Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so happy to be here, and we bless Ellen as she's in Unity of Texas, Dallas this morning. So I'm grateful that she invited me to come and be with you today. So I'm wondering how many of you here love the movies? I haven't met anybody yet that doesn't like the movies. Not everybody likes to go to the movies. You know, some people would prefer to just stay home in the comfort of their home and watch it on Netflix or on a DVD, but not me. No, I'm sort of obsessed. My husband is shaking his head. What did he say?
I said I'm disagreeing with sort of obsessed.
Oh, sort of obsessed. Yes. Well, and actually I'm probably watching less movies now that I'm married than I used to. I'd been known to go three times in a week. Now I'm, you know, like one, down to once a week. But I not only watch movies, I have probably about 60 books on my bookshelves about spirituality in movies. There's tons of them out there. And about the spirituality in TV programs like Star Trek. And I'm grateful that your youth is studying Star Wars because George Lucas actually took the template from Joseph Campbell's hero's journey to write Star Wars. So now I have on my bookshelf one of my books that's called Real Transformation, Your Life Now Playing. Did you know your life is a movie? Good. You are the writer and director and producer of your life. You write the script to your own life movie. You're the star of your life movie. You have a supporting cast. Maybe you even have a leading character, a leading man, a romance figure in your movie. So if your life is truly a movie, what kind of movie is it? Think about that for a minute. Is it a melodrama? Is it a comedy? Is it a fantasy? Hopefully it's not a horror movie. But probably throughout your lifetime, you've had many of those different genres. You know, maybe you've gone through some tragedy. What I discovered in my research and what drew me to want to write this book is I kept seeing this pattern over and over again. And what I discovered is that there are many ancient fables and myths that all have the same similar story to them. It's the coming home story. It's the prodigal son story. It's the hero's journey. And it's an archetypical story that is told over and over and over. And this journey is something that we go on. Not just once, but we go on it continually our whole lifetime. And so I would go to the movies and I kept seeing that theme over and over again. And I would imagine it's probably in most movies. Maybe not in horror movies, but most of the others. And that hero's journey is the reason that we're all here in these physical bodies. The goal of our human existence is to come home to our true nature. That's what the hero's journey is all about. And movies are a wonderful way to get us to see our own life's journey up on the screen. And there are various different stages that we go through on this journey. And Joseph Campbell had 12 in his hero's journey. I've sort of whittled those 12 stages down to 5. That I think we go through over and over and over again. And that journey starts off at home, or what Joseph Campbell called our ordinary world. It's sort of where we're comfortable. It's our comfort zone. And then out of that place, we receive a call. And then there's a wilderness experience. And then in the wilderness, there's an awakening. And then there's a return home. Now, all of us get called, continually get called, and that call is always for greater aliveness, greater sense of oneness with the truth of who we are. And we hopefully answer that call, and usually we resist it at first. But eventually we answer that call, and maybe we resist it because we know that by answering it, it's going to propel us into change, into what feels like wilderness. But it's in that wilderness experience that we have our awakening. And then we return home and we're changed and we're new. And we have a new ordinary world, a new comfort zone. And then we'll get another call because that's the basis of life. And all of us are called in this journey. You're automatically sort of on the hero's journey, just sort of being in these physical bodies. But we have to consciously choose to be on that path. We have to choose to say yes to that call. Rhonda Burns, who wrote the book The Secret, has written many, many other books, and one of the other books she wrote is called The Power. And in The Power, she says, life is your call. Every area of your life is your call. You are the creator of your life. You are the writer of your life story. You are the director of your life movie. And so all of life presents us with opportunities to evolve and transform. And I love that you have transform in your mission statement, because that's why we're here. We are here to transform, to be truly the Christ presence that we are meant to be. And maybe some of your call, maybe one of your calls was when somebody invited you to a Unity church for the first time, and maybe even it was this one. And maybe you heard something there that changed you. And I remember such a call for me. It was actually before I found Unity. It was 1972 when I took EST. Anybody here heard of EST? Well, I took it in San Francisco from Warner Earhart himself. And I remember sitting in this hotel room with 250 other people crying, because Warner stood up there and said, "You create your life experience." Well, I didn't have a good life experience, and I thought it was everybody else's fault. And now Warner is telling me I created this mess that was my life, and I was in tears. But what I realized out of that was that if I created it, I could create something else. And it was that message that eventually led me to Unity, because I then left and kept telling everybody this wonderful bit of news that I had learned about how you create your own reality. I mean, who knew that? And somebody went, "Oh, you'd like Unity." And so I ended up in Unity. And then Unity ended up leading me into ministerial school. So if I hadn't said yes to that call to go to EST, who knows where I would be today. Now, maybe some of you have sat there and heard Reverend Ellen say something that called to you to make some change in your life. Listen to those calls. And again, often there's some resistance at first. I had resistance before I decided to go to ministerial school. There was just, you know, I was like, whoa, that's a major change. And we see that call and the resistance to the call throughout the Bible. Moses got called. God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Moses didn't want to do it. Moses said, he didn't think he was good enough. He thought God should send somebody else. God called Jonah to go speak to the people of Nineveh about repentance, and Jonah ran away, jumped on a boat, ended up in the belly of a fish. Even Jesus, before he started his ministry, went up to the top of the mountain to say, "Isn't there some other person you can have do this?" You know, and he had those demons, what the Bible says is demons, but those were his inner demons arguing with him. But all three of those people in the Bible eventually said yes to their call. And so must we. Because this spiritual journey is about continually learning to say yes to that inner call of spirit. And if we're not saying yes, what I know from experience is that situations will erupt that will force us to say yes. Because there's a God seed within you that needs to be grown into that Christ. just like that acorn has no choice. It has to burst through that shell of the seed to become the oak tree. And the caterpillar is driven into that cocoon in order to become the butterfly. They don't have a choice. They have to say yes. The Zen Buddhists have a belief that I love, and I read about it first from the book Eat, Pray, Love. It's a great book if you haven't read it, and the movie is good too, but the book's even better than the movie. But the Buddhists say that an oak tree is brought into creation by two forces at the same time. Obviously, there is the acorn from which it all begins, the seed which holds all the promise and potential which grows into the tree. Everybody can see that. But only a few can recognize there is another force operating here as well, the future tree itself, which wants so badly to exist that it pulls the acorn into being, drawing the seedling forth with longing out of the void, guiding the evolution from nothingness to maturity. In this respect, say the Zens, it is the oak tree that creates the very acorn from which it was born. Don't you love that? I love that. That oak tree is calling itself forth out of that acorn, and the butterfly is calling itself forth out of that caterpillar, and your Christ self is calling itself forth out of you, always. And again, what I know from experience, if we don't pay attention to those calls, the calls get louder, they get more intense. I had a period of time where I was brought up Catholic, and then in my junior year in high school, we were studying world religions, and I went to a Protestant church that my best friend went to so that I could do my report, and ended up going to a revival and getting saved. So I was a Nazarene for a number of years before I met Unity. And then I found Unity, and Unity was just so refreshing. Nobody was giving me this list of things I couldn't do. So I kind of did whatever I could. You know, I broke all the rules and did all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it was like my minister started going deeper. I don't know what happened to her, but she had some mystical experiences. My minister was Carol Ruth Knox in California, and she had this profound experience, and she started talking about practicing the presence of God 24 hours a day and carrying a prayer in your heart 24 hours a day. And I would listen to her, and there was a part of me that wanted to deepen my spiritual life, but I wasn't ready. And so I literally sort of put God up on a shelf and said, I don't want you to go anywhere, but I just kind of can't. And I knew I couldn't keep coming to church and hearing Carol talk about this and hearing that little inner voice within me and keep saying no to it. So I quit coming to church. And I was trying to avoid that inner call within me, and my life fell apart. My relationships fell apart. My finances fell apart. I had 3 car accidents and 3 tickets within a short period of time. In fact, I even got a letter from the Department of Motor Vehicles. Apparently, they have a point system. And I was getting real close to exceeding that point system, and the letter said, you get one more ticket, we're pulling your license. And I went, really? And I remember getting pulled over one time by a cop, and I just was so fed up. I didn't want to sign whatever he wanted to sign. And I was like, well, what will happen if I don't sign it? And he goes, we'll have to take you to jail. And I came this close to saying, go ahead. I mean, that's how my life was falling apart. And I think it was because I wasn't saying yes to that inner voice of spirit. I was just ignoring it and trying to turn it off. Well, sometimes it takes a crisis for us to say yes. And I kept hearing this friend of mine saying, oh, you got to come back and hear Carol. Something's happened to her. She's hot. She's so deep. And I would think about it, and I kind of wanted to. But you know, when you get out of the habit of doing something, and I was like not in the habit of going to church on Sunday. And so I'd wake up on Sunday, and I'd think about it, and then I'd roll over and go back to sleep. Until this one Sunday, when my friend, who'd been telling me how I needed to come back to church, called me up and said, you won't believe what's happened. Carol Ruth has been murdered. My minister had been murdered. Well, I tell you, I got up that morning and I got dressed and I ran to church. Church was over, but everybody was milling around the patio just in shock. And I never left. The next Sunday, I joined a lay ministry program, which was a lay leadership program that Carol had started. I started volunteering. Somebody even said, nobody knew who I was because I hadn't been around for a couple of years. And even when I had come, I hadn't been very active. And so all of a sudden, here I'm there every time, and I'm volunteering, and I'm ushering, and I'm working in the bookstore, and I'm doing whatever I can. And somebody goes, "What? Do you have a cot here? Do you live here?" I mean, it was like I was just always there. And before I knew it, I was at Unity Village. I didn't even know why I needed to go. I just needed to go, and I took classes. And then a few years later, I was in ministerial school. But because of the death of my minister, I finally got the message that I had put my spiritual life on hold for too long. Sometimes God's calls are very clear, but a lot of times they're not. You know, I'd like to think that if I was Moses and the burning bush appeared in front of me, that I would understand that that was a call. But not all of our calls are so clear. They're not all burning bush experiences. Some of them come way, way more subtly. Maybe we're like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Dorothy's call was sort of what I like to call divine discontent. You remember her? She's singing that song, "Somewhere Over the Rainbow." There's got to be some place better than this. She wasn't happy. She was longing for something different than her black and white Kansas reality. How many here have ever had that divine discontent? I know some of you have had that. That's a call. Listen to that. We're being called to a greater experience and expression of life. The prodigal son felt that discontent. He wasn't happy with his life, and he went to his father and said, "Can I have my inheritance now?" And so he left home. That was his call. He had a desire for something different. Discontent is at the root of desire. And our desires come from God. That very word, desire, means from the Father. Charles Fillmore in Prosperity said, "Desire is the onward impulse of the ever-evolving soul." Anthony Robbins said, "A healthy attitude to life is happy and hungry." Now, have you ever had that feeling where your life is fine? Everything in your life is well and you're happy. But there's just this little nudge that something isn't quite as it should be. And so your heart is yearning for something deeper. You're being called. And all of us are being called all the time. I always tell people, if we're still in these bodies, if you haven't ascended yet, you're not finished. It doesn't matter if you're 92. You know, God is forever calling us deeper. So discontent and desire are one of the ways in which we're called, but there are many, many, many others. Any major change in life can be a call, can offer us an opportunity, sometimes a major loss in life. Last year there was the movie Wild. Did any of you see that with Reese Witherspoon? You know, she plays a woman who lost her mother. She had a really, really strong relationship with her mother, and her whole life went into a spin after that. She started doing harmful things like drugs and being promiscuous, and at some point, she looked at herself and realized she was no longer the girl that her mother had raised. And so she felt called to go trek 1,100 miles. Thank God, God has never called me to do that. Because I wouldn't want to do that. But not everybody is called differently, but she was called to do that. And she answered that call, and she had a lot of wilderness experiences when she went on that 1,100-mile hike. But when she returned, she was a different person. Sometimes we experience a health challenge, and that health challenge calls us to change something within our life. Maybe it's just to eat better or to quit a habit that's not healthy. I had a health scare a couple of years ago. I got out of the car one day and started falling against the wall and was kind of dizzy. And I just thought it was a sinus infection. And my husband going, I think you should go to the doctor after about 2 weeks of being dizzy. Well, they found a little aneurysm in my brain, which actually is a blessing because normally you don't find those things until they burst and you're like, it's too late. So luckily I found it and they did surgery. And in the midst of the surgery, I had a small stroke. And so I woke up and I couldn't lift my hand off the bed. Now, obviously, I'm fine now. It's 2 years later. Actually, 2 weeks later, I walked down the aisle holding my bouquet. The body is amazing. But that health challenge was kind of a wake-up call for me. And I realized I needed to retire from ministry because it had just become a little too stressful and I just wanted something different. And out of retiring, I published my book. So you never know what happens to you that might look like something negative at the time can be a call for you to change your life, to look at something different. Sometimes a call is maybe a dream that you're holding. And I know many of you out there have dreams that you've held your whole life. And I'm thinking of Martin Luther King, who said, I have a dream. And last year there was that great movie, Selma, where they talked about taking that walk from Montgomery to Selma to march for freedom and the right to vote. Can you imagine where our country would be today if Martin Luther King had not said yes to that dream? I mean, we have an African American who's president. A black man as president. I don't think that would have happened if Martin Luther had not. We're still a long ways to go in that arena, but there are lots of people throughout life who said yes, answered that call, and changed history. Your call may just change your little world or your family's world, but all of you are receiving calls. Sometimes a call can be that still small voice you hear in your head or during meditation that tells you to do something, and you may not understand exactly what it is at the time. I'm thinking of Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner. Heard that little voice that said, if you build it, he will come. And he had no idea why he was supposed to build a baseball field. He just knew he was supposed to build a baseball field. And it had nothing to do with bringing back dead baseball players. The real reason he was called was to heal the relationship with his father, because he had never forgiven his father. That was what he was called to. So sometimes we don't understand what we're called to, but we just have to say yes to it and trust that somewhere down the line, God is going to reveal the rest to us. And it doesn't have to be something huge. Sometimes it's just an invitation, like an invitation to church. I'm thinking of Harry Potter, who got a letter in the mail inviting him to go to Hogwarts. How many people here have seen Harry Potter? Harry Potter is like one of my favorite series of movies. It is so spiritual. See, Harry Potter had something in him that he wasn't aware of. He had powers within him that he didn't understand. Well, so do you. Jesus is the one who came and figured out how to actualize all those powers and how to heal the sick and walk on water and do all that stuff. But Jesus said, greater things than these will you do. So we have those powers within us, but we have to say yes to them. So Harry Potter said yes and went to school. Our call to adventure can come in many, many different ways, and all of us receive those calls all the time. If you're not receiving them, it's because you're not paying attention. So I invite you to begin paying attention. Usually after we answer the call, we go through some challenges. We go through some wilderness experiences because we've left our comfort zone. We've left our ordinary world. Most of us don't like change. Anybody here like change? Some people do. Bless you. I'm not one that likes change. Suddenlink has like totally changed the way we view our TiVo now, and it's driving me crazy. It's like, I liked it the way it was.
Why did you have to change it?
But change is inherent in the transformation process because you have to die to the old. You have to let go of the old in order to embrace the new. That caterpillar, just think of that caterpillar resisted and wanted to hold on to that cocoon. It would never burst forth and become that wonderful butterfly. Anybody seen the movie Groundhog Day? That is another very, very spiritual movie. So in Groundhog Day, you get to see somebody who's stuck in a wilderness experience. He was living that same day over and over and over again. And he was forced to finally make a change, and it took him a long time. If you read up about that movie, it's like thousands and thousands and thousands of years he lived that same day. The awakening happens out of the wilderness experience. The prodigal son left home, answered the call, and then went through tons of wilderness experiences. He lost his friends. He lost all his money. The only job he could find was taking care of the pigs, which for a Jew is probably the lowest low you can possibly have, because the Jews saw pigs as being very, very unclean animals. But the Bible tells us that the prodigal son came to himself. He had a realization, an awakening, and realized that the servants at home had it better off than he did. So he would just go home and beg his father to be a servant. He finally got who he was. He was his father's son, and he needed to go home. But he had to go through that whole experience to get that. All of us will feel called to leave our comfort zone, and we're called in many, many different ways. Pay attention. Answer your call. You are a hero. All of you are heroes, and you're destined to be someone no one else on this planet can be. So now let us go into meditation. And I always sit for meditation, so I'm going to sit right here. I invite you to just relax. Close your eyes if that's comfortable to you. And just relax your body. Let that chair fully support you and take a deep breath. You are a divine, precious being. Perfect in every way. And yet often we don't act out that perfection, because we're also human beings. So your divine self is constantly calling to you to be the hero, to be the Christ. To be all that you were destined to be. So I invite you to just think about your ordinary world right now. What is your ordinary world? What is your comfort zone? Is it your job, your family? Some particular way of being? And are you aware of something pushing against that comfort zone? Something tugging you, inviting you into a greater expression of who you are? It might be that divine discontent that Dorothy felt. Or that still small voice. or some change that's happened in your outer world that's calling to you to change something within you. You are precious. Destined for greatness. Maybe you're in the wilderness right now. Maybe you've answered a call and are struggling through that wilderness. I can assure you that if you just keep walking, will find the awakening that you need. So wherever you are in your life's journey, let's just sit in that stillness for a while and listen for that still small voice in the silence. I am open and receptive to that call of spirit. And I give thanks for the many ways spirit calls to me. And I know that if I try to ignore that call, spirit will find another way. Grateful for that presence of God that is forever and ever growing me and expanding me. I am open and receptive to being the hero, to being the Christ that I am destined to be. Now from that place of joy and gratitude, let's join together and sing Alleluia.